This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show.
I can't stand small talk. Like, if I'm in a... All the time, actually, I'm in situations, whether it's like a meeting or a conference or a party for some cause or whatever, and I'm just standing there, and I don't really like small talk. Like, oh, how did the Patriots do in football last weekend, or what'd you do today, or things like that. But I do think questions and curiosity are a great way to get to know people. Like Robin, when we meet new people and I start asking a lot of questions, you always say, uh-oh, he's going into podcast mode. Like, It's almost like you have to explain my behavior, like I'm doing something wrong. Oh, he's a podcaster.
I think it's great.
Don't worry, he's asking so many questions, he's a podcaster. But I legitimately get really curious, and maybe I do go into podcast mode, or maybe when I'm in doing a podcast, I go into curiosity mode that I normally like to do. Like, I like to find out about people. Right. And I've spent a lot of time going on Quora over the years. Quora is that Q&A website. Mm-hmm. I think I'm like the fifth or sixth most followed person on Quora, even though I haven't posted there in years. But there's another writer who was always really great, who always posted on Quora all the time. Her name's Dushka Zapata. And she always had like interesting answers. And I saw she posted something on Facebook where she says, questions I love asking someone that I'm getting to know. Like if you're on a date or you meet a new friend or someone at a party, these are questions she asks to get to know someone better. So Jay and Robin, I think these are great questions that she puts. So she has on her Facebook post. So I'm going to ask you guys, and I'll answer also for me, some of these questions, because they're all great questions. The first question she asks, which is an interesting one, is what do you do on Sunday afternoons?
Robin, you're going to go first? Or you want to think about it first?
You shouldn't have to think about it. Just like last Sunday, what'd you do?
I was sick. So
you like normally have COVID on Sunday afternoons. That's what you do. You like try to like find
Sunday
some germs.
Sunday afternoons. I don't know. I guess I'm just catching up, maybe doing laundry or like, I don't know, getting ready for the week, I think.
Well, I think you do stuff around the house
and
outside.
Do.
Like
right.
You garden.
Yeah. No.
Do you?
No, I don't. But I just manage things.
So I don't even know do we have a garden?
Yeah.
Oh, we do? What's growing?
I just have to manage what's going on in the house. Sometimes
But how do you relax? How do you enjoy yourself on Sunday afternoons?
I go on like, you know, my ancestry. I do some research on my ancestry.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you do that.
So that's relaxing to me.
So sometimes I would say I could answer for both of us on that is that we often, I like to binge watch TV and Sunday afternoons
is like
a good time
too.
To do that while also reading or preparing for stuff.
Right.
And I like playing chess on a Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. So I'll go online, play chess or watch some chess videos. I don't really like going outside. Like a lot of people like to go out on a Sunday afternoon. I'm fine just like staying in the house.
Well, if the horse was closer, I'd go out and ride. The horse is too far away.
I felt like Sunday, it's a time for you to wind down and then prepare for Monday to work, right? So Sunday, I would do like laundry, I'll do groceries. Then I just stay at home and then go outside. Because if you get drunk on Sunday, how can you work on Monday?
Right. I like that too.
What is this word that you guys are using? Laundry? What is that?
Laundry, it's sometimes, you know, when you wear something and
and
get
you have to
dirty,
wash it.
You just put it in the machine.
It gets dirty.
I don't think James even knows where the washroom is in the house.
I think it's upstairs.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah. I think I knew. I think James think that's a magic genie that lives in your house. Like he would just toss the shirts on the floor and then sometimes just disappear and the next day it just appear clean.
It's true.
You know?
That's what happens.
Now everybody who listens to this podcast knows my hygiene habits. But you know, that's why this is a good question, actually. Because on a Monday afternoon, people are working. They're doing their work. Sunday afternoon is when, like for me, that's when you really can indulge in your interests and things you love.
Sure.
Like you said, you know, you like doing the genealogy stuff.
Right.
Like, and you don't just like look up like who is in your family. You like research the history. So you know all this like Revolutionary War history and
getting in touch with all my relatives too.
Yeah.
I sort of correspond with people.
Yeah. And Jay, what do you do? What fun thing do you do on a Sunday afternoon? I feel like you watch Star Wars movies.
I do. It's funny. So like, I do watch movie on a Sunday morning.
Like, you know, Sunday morning, you say, okay, what movie am I going to watch?
Yeah, because when I was younger, right, Sunday morning is a cartoon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cartoon
oh,
is Sunday morning. Funny. So it's sort of built like the habit. So Sunday morning, I would just like, you know, make my breakfast. And then I would just sit down and then look on Apple TV. Like, what should I watch? Maybe Ahsoka or maybe Star Wars or maybe Batman. Maybe, you know, like some scary movie.
That's why we still think you're like 21. I don't know. 20.
Well, what are your favorite Apple Plus TV shows?
Ooh, Severance.
Severance was good.
Severance.
Remember, we watched that with the high concept. They're working. You get to basically detach from all your memories during the workday.
Yeah, we finished that though.
No, it's one. We finished season one. There's definitely a season two. It ended with a cliffhanger.
Oh, that's cool.
It was great. Remember, it was really great.
We liked that.
So good.
That was an amazing cliffhanger.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for.
We consume a lot of TV.
And TV is great. Like, we just watched Hacks on HBO.
That was so good.
Hacks?
Yeah.
Hacks.
Just really look good. It up. It's good.
Okay.
White Lotus was good on HBO.
Yeah, that was funny.
I'm waiting for Squid Games too. Although I saw the trailer and the main guy wasn't in the trailer.
I don't know. It's funny because I can never get into Squid Game.
But you know, shows like Severance and Squid Games are very high concept, low character. Not really low character, but like, not as much as a drama where it's really driven by the character. So Squid Games and Severance would almost survive without any one of the characters.
That's right. True.
So it's driven by the concept.
Yeah.
Which sometimes I don't like those because I like character driven more. Either. But these shows have evolved to the point where there are good characters.
I want Hijack to come back.
Hijack was great.
And then we watched, what did we watch last night? It was my favorite.
I already forgot what we watched last night.
You know, it's the movie.
You guys watch a movie?
I totally forgot what we watched. I'm going to have dementia.
It's so good.
This is what you're learning about me is my dementia.
That means we both have it because I can't remember.
What is it about?
Equalizer.
Oh, yeah. Equalizer. Equalizer 3.
Which one?
It's
3?
Just,
this just came out.
So good. Good.
I haven't watched it, but I saw the trailer. It was so good. It's with Denzel Washington.
Although I will say the Bob Odenkirk thriller. What was that one that just came out recently about a year ago where he's like fighting people?
Who?
Bob Odenkirk. You know, he was in Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul.
I don't know.
Oh, that was good too. What was the name of that?
Right, was it the?
I love those kind of movies.
Like, but he's like a spy, right? Or something?
Yeah. But it's sort of like there's two types of movies like that where you have like the Bourne movies, Equalizer movies, Jack Reacher, which we're going to have Lee Child on the podcast, the guy who wrote the Jack Reacher stuff. But the Bob Odenkirk one was interesting because he, unlike. And what's the Keanu Reeves one? John Wick?
Yep.
It was so much better than John Wick, I think.
Yeah. But all of those, the main character, like take Jason Bourne. It's like he never loses a fight. He knows every martial art. He's like perfectly trained and honed. He's like a killing machine. And the same thing with all of these movies. That's like the genre. But I think that's what I liked about the Bob Odenkirk one, which I'm going to look up the name of that movie right now.
So I want to make a list of things that you can talk to people about. Because we just had a 20-minute conversation about what movies we're watching.
It was called Nobody.
Oh, yes.
Nobody. That is so good.
And what to me was great about that is he actually gets hurt.
Yep.
So it's an equalizer where he gets hurt.
He's the underdog. Yeah.
Like Denzel Washington, he just, and I'm not giving anything away, he just can't, it's like Jason Bourne. Jason Bourne never really gets hurt. Even if they're shot, somehow, like they just pull the bullet out with their teeth and they're in pain, but they know they're like surgeons on themselves. Like they could basically perform surgery on themselves and not feel pain. Yeah. So
that's why I called it overpowered. Like the main characters are overpowered, just can never die.
They're like superheroes without being superheroes. It's like it's like the superhero genre without them like being bitten by a radioactive spider.
Yeah.
So but okay. But I think the good thing about this question is it does, like you say, it leads to other questions and so on. So, okay, the next question, Dushka Zapata, and I encourage everybody to—
Wait, what was the first one?
What do you do on a Sunday afternoon?
Oh, okay.
Second one is, what are you reading?
Why am I reading?
Instead of Instagram or TikTok.
Which, by the way, I'm agreeing. Like, social media does, you only have so much time to devote to reading. And so every second you're on social media, you could have been reading a great book. Although I will say, a lot of books are not as great as people think. And sometimes there are things on social media that are very artistic and beautiful. It reminds me of like TV. For decades, people were TV snobs. Oh, we're not going to allow TV in our house. But we just subscribed all these TV shows and movies they're like works of art. Like the best writers,
yeah,
not always, but many of the best writers out there are working mm-hmm. on TV shows. Like, you know, and now we can't remember any TV show we ever watched.
But Severance is great.
Severance is great. It's a work of art.
Yeah.
Oh, The Morning Show.
The Morning Show is a great show.
Yes. Yeah.
I watched the first season, but I didn't finish it. I think I watched until the very last episode. It felt too real. Like, I want to watch a TV that's not real, you know?
It's like, it's based on...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of based on a couple of different shows. Like, it's... Yeah. It, but right, I would say
right.
It's based very roughly on the Today Show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Hacks is kind of very roughly mm-hmm. based on, like, mm-hmm. the life of Joan Rivers. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, that's why I like all the superhero movie, because I want something that's not... realistic. That's why Severance is great.
Yeah.
Like, you sort of able to relate to it, but mm-hmm. you know that it's fake.
Again, because it's like super high concept.
Yep.
Whereas other shows, again, are very character driven. We could basically have this entire discussion in terms of Denzel Washington movies.
That's the number one thing to ask people. So what are you watching lately?
But you'd be surprised. A lot of people, they're like, no, I'm not watching anything. I'm not... watching.
Yes, and then you go to number two.
Because people feel shame, I think, about TV. Like, if you admit you binge watch Netflix, instead of saying, "Oh, I'm watching works of art," you know, projected onto my TV screen, right. That's not socially acceptable. But okay, what are you reading? What are you reading these days?
There's tons of social media, but I always reread the Norse Mythology by Neil Gaiman.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, I love it so much.
I'm reading the Bible.
The Bible?
She is. And you know what?
Yeah.
She's turned me onto it. And it is much more deep and complex than I ever thought. Because I've read, when I was a kid, I read the Bible from front to back with like a children's version of it. So I know all the stories, but I didn't really realize the depth of the philosophy. And like many people, I always kind of felt Eastern religions were very philosophical and the Bible was very story-driven, but now I'm using, here's a use of ChatGPT. I'm saying to ChatGPT, okay, compare the story of Job in the Bible to the Bhagavad Gita in, you know, Hinduism. And then it's interesting to see how ChatGPT constructs these comparisons. Mm-hmm. So that's a use of AI for me, but you are reading that. Yeah. I'm reading-
Proverbs, especially we're doing it every day because there's 31 Proverbs, so like the day, it's the seventh. So we read the seventh chapter of Proverbs.
It's interesting because, I just moved, right? I just moved to a pretty Christian community. Like almost every week, I would see people talk about Christianity. Mm. And then they would explain to me, like, it's funny. So the other day, was it last week? I was walking my dog and I saw this lady was reading the Ancient History of Israel. I'm like, this is interesting book. Like, who would pick up an ancient history about Israel? Sure. And I asked her, like, why do you read that? She's like, well, it's closer to the Old Testament.
Yeah. Or like, the Dead Sea Scrolls. I have a book of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
So that's interesting too. But that's specifically historical around the time of Jesus, because that's when they were supposedly written. But the history of Israel, there's so many different, basically right near Israel where Iraq is the supposed Garden of Eden. But Israel itself has been ruled by so many different like empires. You go from the Israelites, the Hebrews, to the Assyrians, to the Babylonians, to the Persians, to the Greeks, to the Romans, to the English, to what's happening in Israel today with all the wars. Like it's the most war-torn country historically ever, probably.
Yeah. I always wonder why. Like, is it just because of religion, or is it because it's on the trade route?
It's probably because it's not a trade route.
More religion. I mean, they're brothers, the Shia and the Sunni.
No, but like historically. Like why were the Assyrians and the Babylonians interested in Israel? And by the way, Israel itself was an empire when it was, when King David, supposedly, this is more the mythology of the Bible. It's unclear if this really happened, but Israel was the biggest trading country in the world during the time of King Solomon, supposedly. We don't really know for sure.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it has to do with being in the fertile,
But I guess also to get to Egypt from, I don't even know the geography, so I'm not going to comment.
It's right next. It's through Palestinian territory into the point of Egypt. It's right there.
And
right.
I guess like for me, what I'm reading is because we have three guests on a week usually for a podcast, I'm always reading, like right now I'm reading the next book by Lee Child and Andrew Child in the Jack Reacher series. It's called The Secret. I'm reading Shane Parrish's book, Clear Thinking. going through the latest version, the new version, the 10-year anniversary edition of The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. And then for myself personally, I'm trying to, you know, journey on this quest towards regaining my chess mastery. So I'm always reading chess books. And I'm reading one really great novel called Ultra Luminous by Catherine Faugh, who's a really great writer. Next question. Who do you miss?
Who do I miss? I don't think I have missed anyone.
Do you miss your parents?
I miss Robin.
I miss you're right here. You don't miss her. Yeah. But do you miss your parents? They're in Malaysia?
I think I did because like once in a while I would dream about my parents.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then I dream about my... Especially recently, I dream about my grandparents and they both passed away for a couple of years now. I'm like, why? Are they like trying to come back and tell me something? Mm. You know how Asians are always superstitious.
Did you spend a lot of time with your grandparents when you were younger?
Yeah. I think I lived... When I was younger, my grandma's the one that sort of raised me because my parents always working.
Yeah, sounds like me, yeah.
Well, what would you do with her?
Just travel with her. Like we just, sometimes we live in like some odd, like my aunt's house with her. And then, you know, sometimes she would walk me home from school and stuff like that. And school bus and stuff like that.
Do you live in like some squalid Malaysian slum?
It's on a tree. It's like a tree house and we have to climb up. No, I'm just joking. It's like a terrace. Not a terrace. Yeah, a terrace, right? We call it terrace. It's like it's like a, you know, a house and stuff like that.
And Robin, who do you miss?
Yeah, I mean, I miss my kids.
Yeah.
I miss you when you're gone.
And I've been traveling a lot lately.
Yeah, and I miss my mom when she's gone. I miss my grandparents and I miss my friends.
I guess most of all, like I probably think every day about how much I miss my kids because they're in New York City.
Yeah.
I'm here.
That's the same with me.
So, yeah, because your kids essentially, you know, were two of them just kind of left the nest fairly recently.
They're in school, but they come back. They always come back.
I still talk to your kids. I still talk to John all the time. Not all the time, but like I would send her like some funny stuff on Instagram and she would comment.
They're so busy in school though, you know.
So, but this is like, these again, as a reminder to our listeners, these are questions you ask to get to know someone better. And I think like Jay, we just learned this huge thing about you, that you, basically your grandma kind of raised you and we learned a little about Malaysian culture and so on. So this is, it could lead to other questions and so on.
Yeah.
This is an interesting next question. When was the last time you lied?
Oh, you mean like 5 minutes ago?
Well, on average, people lie 4 times a day, apparently.
Holy shit.
So you probably did lie at some point today or yesterday. Well, when was the last time you lied? Today's probably hard because it's not like it's a Sunday or it's a Saturday. So it's not like I've spoken to that many people.
Yeah. I think I just lied to someone when I say like, I live in New York. It was great.
Oh, yeah. that counts as a lie. So, okay. Why did you feel compelled to say it was great? And by the way, the way you said that, I'm assuming you think it wasn't great. So another question could be like, why don't you think New York is great? But like, why did you feel compelled to lie though?
Well, because like in everyone's, like, so we were talking about, oh, where do you live? Blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, oh, New York, right? It must be great, right? And then I'm like, yeah, New York is great. So we're talking to a stranger. I don't want to.
But maybe parts of New York you like is great.
No, but he lied though.
Yeah.
You felt like you lied.
Yeah. I felt like I lied.
He felt he was trying to not basically have a point of contention. Because I guess New York City is one of those cities where you're either religious that it's great.
Yeah.
And like obsessed with the fact that it's great or you hate it.
Yeah. And also I think I felt like it's an ego thing, right? Like when people are like, oh yeah, you live in New York City? How was it? You know, when I'm talking to strangers, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to be like, oh yeah, New York City is great, you know? It's great, but deep down I'm like, I have to hustle, I have to pay so much for rent and stuff like that.
But when you say that though, don't they ask, well, then why did you move here if you think New York City is
so
great?
I just like, because my boss moved down here and I moved here.
Oh, like I forced you.
No, it's just like I moved
my
because
evil
of job.
Slave driving boss.
Yeah, like so let's say, right, Robin, like, so let's say you live in New York before, like if a stranger just walk up to you, like, oh yeah, you live in New York for like however much years, like
ask James what I say.
Oh. What did she say?
Well, yeah, what do you say? Well, most of the people you talk to probably don't like New York.
I don't care. I just say I did not like it.
See, I think New York City is great for a lot of reasons, but I hate talking about this article, but in that article, I say New York City is great, but these are problems that are going to happen, which are now happening, and we should try to avoid them, which everybody chose. Then what I really grew to hate about New York was the reaction a lot of people had towards me. But in general, I like the fact that New York City is a great walking city. I like the fact that, you know,
I don't really miss anything.
There's a lot of opportunities there. Although the good thing about all this remote work stuff is that the opportunities of New York City and San Francisco and LA and other major cities has dispersed now through the country because people have moved. Like everybody I know, many of the people, I would say 80% of the people I knew in New York City have moved, or at least gotten, you know, temporary other homes elsewhere and seem to be permanently staying there.
Well, I guess when I say it's great because I don't want to disappoint them. And then it was great when I was there, when I was doing a bunch of stuff, I'm like, it was great then. But in retrospect, it's a lot of hard work.
It's a lot of hard work to live in New York. Like, if you're not there for the money, and
it's expensive. It's dirty.
It's expensive.
Yeah. It's crowded.
It's dirty. There's crime.
There's rats everywhere.
Yeah. And it's on top of other people. Like, you're constantly on top of people, even though, like, you pay.
And they're not nice, most of the people.
miserable. Yeah. And even if you pay, like, a lot of money to rent a place, you're still going to be stacking on top of other people. It's not like you have your own place.
But I do think it's a great city. And just like, you know, when, you know, I don't know, Rome was sacked and eventually rebuilt itself 500 years later, I think New York City will eventually come back. Robin, when's the last time you lied?
I was just thinking about that. I mean, I really honestly can't remember. I think I was probably young.
The last time you lied?
Yeah, I don't like liars. And I really, really honestly try to be honest, and I don't lie.
Yeah, and
but sometimes lies are subtle, like not a big lie.
No, I don't even lie. I have a real big problem, and you and I talked about this.
Yeah.
When people say white lies, those to me are real lies.
But even there are lies that are like not even like, okay, like I lied about 20 minutes ago, and I'll tell you what. Yeah, I told you a tweet that was trashing me. It called me various names.
Yeah.
Right? But because I didn't want to get bad into it, I combined two tweets as one tweet to describe this tweet. It was actually a set of tweets this guy made about me, calling me Hitler or whatever. And I combined things he said in multiple tweets so I didn't have to really describe like multiple tweets.
You didn't really, you just said tweeted. So I don't
know. Yeah, so okay. But that's like kind of a half lie.
Is it?
Yeah, because I didn't say it was multiple tweets. I said, I basically said it was a tweet.
I don't have to say, like, Robin's very honest, like very straightforward too.
I don't really have a problem telling people my real feelings.
Yeah, because like sometimes I'm like, oh, Robin, how do you feel about this scene or like this setup, this set? Robin would be like, no, I don't like this. It's not like, this looks great, but you know.
Yeah, and see, it's good because like my kids, I think I feel like are like that too.
Oh yeah. I talk to John.
Oh yeah, Martin, yeah. Your kids
like,
are super honest.
Like, yeah.
And like Sarah's super honest. Lily, I mean, like I just don't like, that type of person that just says something just to appease you. And so my kids aren't like that. So they're a good reflection of me.
I agree. Look, I feel like in terms of major lies, I feel like it's been decades since I was trying to make someone else happy and thus lying. Although maybe not true. Like I think in between marriages before I met you, Robin, I probably, you know, let's say dated some people that I might have disagreed with on things, but I wouldn't really say something. So those are sort of like lies of silence.
Because you didn't feel probably comfortable with it. I mean, when you...
Or I was insecure. Like
see,
I was probably insecure and I
it's
wanted
them to like
me. It's an
insecure way. That means that you are insecure when you do have to lie to make people like you. You feel like, if I don't say the truth, then they're not going to like... If I say the truth, they're not going to like me.
See, I feel like that all the time. You know, I felt like
but people can see through you doing that.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it's a self. What do you call it? It's like a self aware thing. Like, I want people to like me. You know, so I want to.
Sure, but they would like you more if you were just yourself.
I think it's different than Robin. Like, I don't think a lot. I think some people, they want to listen they want to listen to the right thing that coming up from your mouth.
Right.
Some
they
people.
They want to listen to the echo chamber. Yeah. But then the question is, why do you want to even talk to them?
See, I do not talk like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I won't talk to those people.
Yeah.
Or I won't say anything. Right. I'll just listen. Because I could say something that they don't like, but I just...
Yeah.
Robert could definitely say things that they don't like. But I would say that's the thing. One good way to avoid lying is to... There's that saying, you're the average of the five people you spend time with. Just don't spend time with people you feel that you need to lie to.
That's why I moved down to Georgia.
There's a saying, if you can't say something nice, don't say something at all. So if you can't say something truthful, don't say anything at all. There you go.
Right.
So, okay, next question. How many really good friends do you have?
We
always wonder about this on the podcast, actually. I always ask the guests.
Yeah, I think I only have two. Like,
so what constitutes a really close friend?
Yeah, that's how to define.
Okay, maybe I would define it as someone I could call anytime, ask for any kind of help, and vice versa, and I can be totally honest with about like what's going on in my head and what's bothering me. Everything's vice versa.
I think I have one or two. One is in Singapore and one is in Jersey. Yeah.
And also, you enjoy spending time with them.
Yeah, and you
could be silent with them.
Oh, yeah. Definitely my friends in Singapore for sure. Because like if I do something bad, like he would call me out right away. I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. You know, yeah.
And how many really good friends do you have?
I'd say maybe 10.
10? Oh, that's a lot. Yeah. I would say 3 or 4.
You guys are a lot more social than I. I feel like I'm social, but I keep everyone
We're
at the
older
armor.
Than you, so we've collected friends.
Yeah, you kind of have archaeological layers of friends.
Right,
yeah.
but the thing is, like, didn't they have this, like, a saying that, like, you have, let's say you can make, like, 100 friends when you're in school, and then when you hit your 30s and 40s, and most of them are gonna laugh you, right?
Yeah, but that's why I have a lot of friends.
We have a lot of social friends. People that you would actually tell your, you know.
But and I have a lot of good, I have a lot of like friends that I really like.
But you wouldn't like ask them to.
I wouldn't call necessarily all of them at like 4 a.m. and say.
Right. I need help.
I'm suffering from a heroin overdose. Come pick me up at this hotel in whatever, the ghetto of Atlanta.
Oh my God.
So.
James wouldn't have any friends after that.
Do you get along with your exes?
No. I didn't talk to them. Only one, but I didn't talk to them as much. They are exes for some reason.
Yeah. Other than the mother of my children. other than the mother of my children, I talk to zero of my exes.
Right.
And what about you?
You don't talk to her either.
Yeah. But what about you?
Well, mine have passed away.
But you've had more exes than that.
Well,
I mean, like,
I don't talk to my ex. I mean, my old boyfriend. I don't talk to my old boyfriend.
Yeah. Also, you probably have nothing to talk to them about.
Yeah, that's just it. Like, that's the reason why they're exes.
Yeah.
So you run out of things to say and do and want to do with them.
I generally didn't talk to my. I think I learned a hard way that got humiliated by one of them. I'm like, yeah.
Would you go out with somebody who always hung out with her exes?
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
That's weird.
That's a red flag right there, right?
I think that's weird.
I do too,
but why is that a red flag? I think that's a little bit...
Okay.
Like, so I wouldn't like it because I'd be afraid she'd sleep with them.
For
instance, with your ex, like, she's calling you. Why would... Like, she wants a husband, but without being a wife, right? It's like, that's my husband. You're talking to my husband.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be, acting like your wife.
Well,
right?
I agree. I would not go out with somebody who's like hanging out with her exes all the time.
Right.
Yeah, because like, what if they relapse? Right. Yeah. And
one time I was dating someone who she really wanted me to get along with her most recent ex, and she had just left him, and he basically we're all hanging out, and he got drunk and basically tried to beat me up. So that wasn't fun. So just in general.
Okay, that's a big red flag.
I
wish I had taken it, but it's more of a red flag.
Yeah.
That relationship survived a few months.
Like if you get along with their exes, you feel like you're third wheeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's a, what do they call it? A trifecta or something like that.
Something like that. But It's just plain and simple. If they're hanging out with their ex, I'm going to be jealous that they're going to end up sleeping with their ex in a period when they're having an argument with me.
Yeah.
And that might be insecurity on my part. I'm not really a jealous person, but that what it's not necessarily jealousy. Like that is what happens. So
I have seen enough movie and rom-com that happened.
It happens in every single rom-com. And it's so annoying. In a rom-com, they can't even be friends with someone from the opposite sex, or they're definitely sleeping with that person.
Oh yeah.
If they have a boyfriend and a best friend, they're sleeping with both in the movie.
Yeah.
So
that's why I like rom-com.
Where did you go on your last trip?
Denver. LA, Denver.
Oh, yeah. You spoke at Podcast Movement.
It was great.
In Denver.
Yeah, Denver. It's specifically in fame. Aurora, Colorado. It's a land of nothingness.
But you enjoyed it, though. You met a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I met a lot of people, chat with a lot of people, met like some new friends. Putting the James Altucher Show's name out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mention it all the time.
That's why I don't have to speak at podcast conferences anymore. You're speaking at the podcast conferences.
Yeah.
And Robin, where was your last trip?
I believe it was in California with you and Jay.
Oh, yeah. We went to...
Wait, do you not go to Amsterdam with James?
No, she didn't go to Amsterdam.
Uh-uh.
Oh.
You let me go to Amsterdam all by myself. So I was taking a walk with these guys and my friend... Dirk, who's the editor of New in Chess, he was like saying, oh, and he was just being very sincere. He's like, you know, the architecture in the red light district is very interesting. You want to walk by it? And I could, because he's from there, he said I could point out all these different things. Sure. And I said, no, I've got this Find My Phone app on my phone. And if I walk through there, my wife will see, what is he doing walking in the red light district and like stopping at different buildings?
What did he say?
Slowly, he and there was one other person with us laughed. Like,
that's funny. Because you're right.
But they didn't question.
I know that
they didn't
area.
Question, is that a little weird that your wife's spy? They didn't question that part.
Oh, no. Oh.
I thought they maybe would. They're just like, just laughed and like, we didn't go.
Wait, what if James started getting high over there?
Because yeah, what if I started getting like, high?
Right? I mean,
she
I
knows
him.
I don't do that. No. So, yeah. I'm there for
even
chess.
If you were walking down the red light district, I mean, I would.
You would call. Like that one time, the power of my phone went out in Brooklyn, and I was like in the middle of the Brooklyn, just wandering around. And then I was like I charged my phone in this bodega, and then I got into an Uber, and you were like, where were you? And where are you now? And I thought I was still in Brooklyn, but the Uber had already crossed over into Manhattan. So I have to over-explain, I'm in an Uber. I didn't know we'd already crossed because I was talking to you. Anyway, you would definitely call that second. It would be 3 a.m. Actually, it was only because it was around 10 p.m. in Amsterdam. Uh-huh. It was like 4 p.m. here. Yeah, yeah. So you would definitely have called that moment.
To be fair, in New York City, if your phone went out and no one can track you down, people definitely should call. You know, you never know what's going to happen in New York City. You know, there's so many crimes.
I just use it as a safety thing with all the kids, you know, and you.
I need safety.
Is
he okay?
But like, look, you left your phone one time in the Uber. We were able to find it.
Oh, yeah, you know? In England.
Like, there's things. That's just,
you've
I
always
just do
able
that
to track down my phone.
I'm just safety first, you know, living overseas. I'm really aware of everything. See?
This show is sponsored by the app Find Your Phone.
Phone Finder by Apple.
Yeah. My
Remember
last trip
Amsterdam?
Though, my last really fun
too.
Trip was Amsterdam, where I observed this very high-end chess tournament with all these ex-world champions in there, and it was so much fun. Robin should have come with me, but she didn't. And you had things to do here. There's stuff was going on.
Yeah.
All right. But you know, these are all really good questions to ask someone to learn about them. Like then you learn their interests, you learn their job, you learn. Actually, I forgot where did you? We went to LA because we were visiting that company.
Yeah.
And then Vegas.
She didn't go to. Oh, I went to Vegas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was for a conference. Yeah, I went from Amsterdam to Las Vegas. Like probably. How many sin cities are there? There's Amsterdam is like a sin city, Las Vegas.
And I didn't go to either of them.
Yeah.
And New York is a sin city too, right?
I don't know if New York is. Is New York a sin?
Sort of
like,
is, right?
Like the product of Amsterdam and Las Vegas is like vice.
Right. Right.
You know, it's like you would think of it that way. Like, if you, mm-hmm. what is Amsterdam and Las Vegas known for? Either not, you know, gambling in Las Vegas, but also, let's say, prostitution and you know, Amsterdam's known for like drugs and prostitution. What's another sin city like that? Like maybe Bangkok? I don't know.
Oh yeah, Bangkok mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. Bangkok.
That's for prostitution. Mm-hmm. Macau maybe? I don't know. That's kind of high-end gambling. Or Monte Carlo. I don't think of that as a sin city, even though it's like gambling.
I'm a good kid. I never go to any sin city. That's why I don't know about them.
There you go. Atlantic City maybe. That's like a...
Really? Tell us, James.
Yeah. How do you know?
Yeah, how do you know?
I spent the summer in Atlantic City playing poker in 1999. Okay. Summer of 1999. I had a house on Brigantine and I would go every day to play poker in the Trump Taj Mahal Casino. What would you do if money was not an issue?
I don't know. I don't know if I would live differently if money was not an issue. You know? Like, I it's weird. So I think I got this from my parents and part of the reason why... Also because I'm Asian. Like, even if I have like $1 billion, I would still want to work. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think I told you guys this. Like, that. If I don't work, I would get sick.
Yeah. Like, I feel the same way.
Yeah. It's weird.
I have to have something going on.
Yeah, I think it's more like, I mean, Warren Buffett puts it well. You don't want to work in the sense that you always want to do what you love. So you mm-hmm. skip all the way to work. And if mm-hmm. you're doing what you love, it's not really work. So, like, why would your life change just because of money? Ideally, you've set up your life to do what you love. But not everybody has that opportunity. But I would suggest that if you're not working on things you love at least some percentage of the time, mm-hmm. make it a quest for yourself to try to monetize a little bit something you love. Or don't give up the things you love so you can do more of the things you hate just for money. Because, you know, it's the cliche, life is short. But obviously, you need to have money to do certain things that you might not do. You didn't need the money.
Right. But a weird one is to set up a professional recording studio. Like, if money wasn't a thing.
Yeah, but then you'd have to get clients for it.
Well, right? If money is not a thing, right? I just can't.
True. What would you do? Would you make music? Your own music?
Yeah, probably music, podcast, and everything. Just create something fun mm-hmm. and something experimental.
Okay, Jill, let me ask you a question.
You can do that down here. Why don't you just...
Yeah, just set up a studio down here.
A professional studio. I don't know. Like,
no, I'm serious.
We have a room down here that's empty that's... You can make a professional studio in.
Let's buy all the, bring all my equipment here.
Yeah.
Everything's here.
Why not?
Yeah. And then how come more people don't do this? You can make music, right? You could sample stuff.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so take your favorite songs, sample them, or take a YouTube course on how to blend samples together so they sound like in sync with each other. And then use auto-tune so that your voice is in perfect harmony. Mm-hmm. And then you can make music. How come everybody just doesn't make music?
Well, no.
You don't really need any musical talent.
Yeah, no, everyone like music. Right.
Everybody loves listening to music.
Yeah. So that's the difference between love listening to music and love creating music. Mm. I love watching a movie, but I'm not sure if I love creating movie.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like some people they love reading books, but they might not love writing books. It. Yeah.
Well, actually, that's an interesting thing. So I always thought, you know, it was good for my kids to watch TV when they were little because that gets them exposed to many, many stories and it gets them potentially good at storytelling. So do you think observing something, even if you're not passionate about it, makes you better at understanding that topic?
For sure. Yeah. Like
if you watch a basketball game, do you think you will slightly, ever so slightly, improve at basketball?
At least for me, yes. So I'm what do you call it? I learn by watching things, right?
Mm-hmm. Like you're visual.
Yeah, visual. So let's say if I want to play basketball, I will watch a bunch of basketball game and then I will visual myself doing some sort of move for the basketball team, like during the basketball game, and then try it out on the court and see if it works or not. Yeah, I'm definitely like that. And, you know, while watching movie, I learn by observing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like we watched The Equalizer.
More visual.
We watched The Equalizer last night and basically in 9 seconds, I could kill the both of you.
I want to just... be an MMA. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just, at least you know the concept. Like maybe because I relate everything to physics. So anything that's physical, I'm like, okay, this makes sense why it is work this way.
So those are Dushka Zapata's questions to get to know someone better.
Yeah.
And she concludes it with, you know, this is like a kind of a blog post. She concludes it with, and she says, and of course, before we go any further, do you love me? So that's what she would ask someone if to get to know them better. But then she says she's just kidding. But I think that's actually a reason. That would be, if you're on a date, that is a fun question to ask at the end.
First date would be creepy, though.
No.
But that's if you say it seriously, like, I really need to know if you love me already. Yeah. Like, that would be creepy. But if you kind of do it like in this priming sort of way, where you kind of like set the bar really high, but like in this art, this kind of humorous way, then that kind of primes the date. And we've talked about this, I think. I forgot who we talked about this. It's basically a manipulation tactic to kind of ask that in a joking way.
Oh, was it Bill
That's
Petit?
Not good.
Might have been, but it might have been someone else. I think it was. I feel like it was more recent.
So don't do that, because a manipulation, that's, ugh.
It's not so much manipulation. It's the same as, like, I think, was it the anchor bias? Like,
yeah, it's similar to anchor bias. Yeah,
you go into negotiations and they're like, oh, how much money do you want for this product? You're like, oh, maybe 50 million. But just joking.
Yeah.
So it's like anchor bias a little.
Right. Like, if you said that seriously, they would think you were weird or stupid. Yeah. But if you're just like making it as a joke, they take it as a joke, they forget about it, but it really just sort of anchors them at a high number without them necessarily realizing it. So it's a good sales/negotiation technique.
Yeah. But I'm going to ask you guys this question. I'm sure you guys, this is like the common questions. I think we talk about this in other episodes. But if there's one person you can have lunch with, who would you have? Like, dead or alive?
Robin.
You're so funny.
Robin's sitting there. Robin's watching.
I don't know. I don't like having lunch with people.
Like, lunch and talk to them.
I think it would be… Alexander the Great.
Really? Why? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He was just such a young...
So I feel like he would just say, okay, now I'm going to invade Persia and I'm
I don't know. I just want to know, what was he
women?
Thinking? And how at such a young age, how he was able to just take over all these countries and beat... Like, was he scared? Was he... Like, where did he get his confidence?
What's the one question that you were asking?
Like, I want to know how he felt so confident. What made him feel that he could do what he did at that age?
Well, it's
like, that's pretty amazing.
His father, Philip of Macedonia, obviously was a strong king as well. So probably he got a lot of confidence from that.
Yeah.
And his teacher, by the way, was Aristotle, like the most famous philosopher ever. So Aristotle probably.
But he was like, what? How old was he?
16? I thought it was 16. Or was it 19?
16, I don't know. And he died pretty young, right?
Yeah, he died
pretty
really young. 33. Yeah.
I guess I would want to have lunch with someone like Buddha to see if they were the real deal. Like, if it was real, or if I felt if I sensed some kind of BS there.
I mean, all the self-help gurus have some sort of BS, right?
Even like Queen Elizabeth would be fun to talk to. Like, everything that she experienced. Mm.
That's funny. So you like someone with like a military thing to talk about.
Well, just to understand, first of all, someone that's old. Okay, so Alexander the Great wasn't old.
Right.
But someone that has really experienced like real world experience, like that have controlled and conquered and the world.
See,
I don't know. I think it's so interesting.
Look, I feel like we've had the most interesting people alive on this podcast among the 1,500 podcast guests that we've had.
Yeah.
So I've already done it. We've already had lunch with.
What about people that are dead, though?
Yeah, I don't really want to have lunch with any of them. any of those people.
I think I want
any
to
dead
have
people.
I want to have lunch with Genghis Khan or Hitler.
You're gonna have lunch with Hitler?
Genghis Khan would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, because so let's say if you have lunch with like superhero or like people that like really kind-hearted. Like, you already know their motive, right? Yeah, because they want to help people, their selflessness, you know. But like, what about Hitler and Genghis Khan? What drives them to do
all this? What about Sun Tzu? He would be cool to talk to.
But I feel like we would know what they would say. Like Hitler would basically say he was driven by, I mean, Hitler was driven by power and by German nationalism. Like, he felt Germany was the greatest race of all, and that it should rule the world, and that the source of all of Germany's problems were Jews, and so you got to kill all the Jews.
But he was Jewish, so
yeah.
No, but he, who knows? We don't really know.
But what about Genghis Khan? Genghis Khan
was interesting in the sense that he understood it wasn't important just to conquer everybody. Like, he had this need to have his seed spread everywhere. So he basically raped every woman he encountered, which is why we're all descendants from Genghis Khan. So
not you guys, right? He didn't cross the ocean, did he?
No, but Genghis Khan, he raped like thousands of people. So
yeah,
everybody has got Genghis Khan as an ancestor, essentially. Everybody in Europe and Asia.
I tried.
Not according to my DNA.
Yeah, not according to my DNA. I have no Mongolian in my DNA.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, me either.
All right, then I guess he didn't rape enough people.
William the Conqueror I'm related to.
Really?
The Conqueror, who is that?
But you know, Genghis Khan is much longer than this. So your DNA might not...
Conqueror I'm related to that
it
I know.
It might be like 1/10,000th of your DNA, so it would be too small to recognize.
I don't know.
But do you have any Asian? You have Asian.
I definitely have Asian. I was hoping that I have some Dutch in me, but apparently I did not. It's all Asian.
Oh, I guess because the Dutch were the first to reach out to...
Not reach out, but like they conquered.
But Marco Polo in the 1200s would trade with China.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's 10 or so questions that you should ask to get to know people better. I totally stole this content from Dushka Zapata's Facebook page, but you should check out all her questions and answers on Quora. She really writes really great. Thanks, Robin. Thanks, Jay. And
it was fun. We'll do more.
Yeah, we'll do more. Should be like an IG Live or something.
Yeah. Let's do it.